eat anything because, look, if I won't even be able to speak if I eat, you know. But the smell of it's so good. But some of the different dishes that they were talking about, you don't see that everywhere. So I know I'm in good hands with this group of people. One of the things that I'm going to get started on, do y'all have that turned on yet? Yeah. Are we going to be able to see it from here? Another thing, a little bit closer. All right. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Before we get started, I want to say this, that I lived in out west for a couple of years, a place called Denver, Colorado. I know that there's no problem here like there is there. All right, I drove through this countryside coming up through Arkansas and into here, and I found out right when I got here that you can actually bow hunt in the city limits. Hey, that's a good thing. I grew up around Little Rock bow hunting in the city limits, and there's too many. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, if someone says, don't shoot those are my pets, that's sinful. I mean, before the flood, you could only eat plants, but what happened after the flood? As soon as Noah got off the boat, what did he say? He said, now I give you the animals. He said, you can eat them as food, and the fear and dread will come upon them because of you. So when you got deer eating in your yard, just remember, that is not scriptural, all right? Not biblical at all. We get to shoot them and eat them as quick as they get out there. Tonight, I want to tell you guys about the people that I work for, kind of what I do for them, and most importantly, my story of how I came to know Christ through them. And usually I got a little bit of everything for someone in the room, but you're going to hear some things from me that you're going to say, that's not quite right. But when you hear something that you think's right, hey, that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking, all right? So bear with me, and I'll start off with these slides. Now, one thing I like to say is I got about 50 slides, and if a picture's worth 1,000 words, we're going to be here for a while. How much time y'all got, right? This is the guys that I work with. There's Phil, Godwin, Cy in the middle, and Jay Stone, and Jace is over there on the edge. What I do for them is, in 2001, I started videoing these guys, videoing their duck hunts. I'm going to tell you how all that came about, because I didn't go to school to run a camera. I just had an interest in it with wildlife and videoing my own hunts, and some of you guys know how that is. There's a lot of good things happening out there that we want to be able to show our family, our friends. I mean, let's just face it. We're like a bunch of house cats. You know how when they catch the rat, what do? They bring it up to the doorstep so you can see it, right? How many deer do you see in the fall on the back of someone's truck? Hey, there's a little bit of pride in us hunters, man. I mean, we spend a lot of time in it. So that's kind of how I got into videoing my own hunts. I never could find anyone that could video me well, so I just started videoing myself, which is a wreck in and of itself, but I was fairly successful at that. Little did I know that God Almighty was going to set me up to where I would not be able to deny him at all. These are the guys that I work with on a daily basis. All right, let me see. Phil Robertson, as most of you guys know, the Duck Dynasty, right? I always ask, how many deer hunters are in the room? All right, how many duck hunters? About right. And how many Duck Dynasty fans are there in the room? Hey, it's really a great show. I will say this, that all of those shows are based on some kind of truth. And but you can't believe everything you see on TV, all right? That's all there is to it. There's not a lot of reality in reality TV. I didn't know this. Well, I was talking to a lady not long ago, and she told me, she said, my new show that I like is, what was it, Naked and Scared? All right, see, I'm bad redneck, naked and scared. You know, I may have a little bit of an accent, but anyway. I told her, I said, do you really believe that those people are out there doing that? I said, they've got about 6 cameramen around them. They have camper trailers where all of the production crew is. I said, you can't believe nothing on reality TV. It's not real. And anyway, that upset her. She said, you've ruined it for me. I said, okay, whatever. You probably shouldn't watch that one anyway. But Phil Robertson, a great man. I met him in 2001. I'll tell you right now, I had no facial hair. I never believed in that. Number one, I'll tell you right now, it is a deterrent. I'm going to just tell you young guys, get married before you start growing facial hair. There's a good chance you're going to be single a long time. Now, once she says I do, you can just let it grow, right? Not a whole lot she can do about it. But when I met Phil Robertson, I was in a different place in life, so I didn't agree with a lot of stuff that was said. Like I said, I got into a job after videoing myself and learning some cameras. I got into a job in Arkansas helping with a home video hunting show. Gained a lot of knowledge, gained a lot of experience in that on editing and different cameras and a really tough learning curve. And I spent so much time doing it that I looked up and basically I was all alone. I've been married for 21 years now by the grace of God, but when you start spending about 120 hours at work, that don't leave much home time, right? You'll end up with some divorce papers, eventually separation papers in my case. So the experience that I was gaining was not doing me any good as far as family goes, spiritual life goes. But little did I know that all of that was going to lead me to these long-haired guys down there, down south Louisiana. But what I do for them, what I've done for them in the past, all the way up this season, is I video them for 60 days of a 60-day duck season. You will not meet any duck hunters that are as persistent as these guys. All day long, even when there's no ducks coming, Phil Robertson saying, they're coming. If they don't get there at 10 o'clock, he said, oh, they'll be here about noon. If they're not there at noon, he'll say, well, that 2 o'clock flight should be here anytime. That's tough on me. I've got to carry a lot of batteries. You got to understand, there's more ducks north of us, especially when we have mild winters. You know, it takes a really cold blast of air, that Arctic blast, to get ducks to come that far. But we're sitting there sometimes all the way into the evening, and when shooting hours are over, he says, well, what else we got to do? We can't dance. He's saying dance, all right? And so he says, we'll just get up and do it again in the morning. I've never been around someone that's that optimistic in my life. And so it's pretty tough, but these guys are able to make some of the best action videos on the market. Their duck calls, I've seen their duck calls come pretty cheap. They're a little bit higher now. They make a better quality duck call, but just about anybody can watch one of their videos and be excited about ducks and duck hunting, right? Get a duck call fairly cheap and get into it. But what I do is I videotape these guys from putting out the decoys to doing the hunting to just some of the conversations that they have, record all of that for about 60 days. I mean, look at these guys. They look pretty scary, right? I mean, if you seen them, what would you think? Would you probably get out of their way, right? I can tell you they're a good group of godly men. But when I went to Louisiana, I was judging a book by its cover. It's just natural for us to do that. I was telling someone earlier about a fishing trip I went on White River, and with some guys going trout fishing, fly fishing. They had their little vest and all that. We got to the little hats and everything, and look, I was in shorts, right? I'm a redneck. I showed up, and the shoals had people fit. He said, well, we're not going to be able to fish right now because there's too many people. I said, well, man, you'll have to forgive me, but I'm going to take off my shirt. Give me your fly rod. When I got in the water, they thought I was a homeless man with a fly rod going crazy. Look, they cleared them shoals out, and we had the stream for the rest of the evening. Wouldn't no one get around it? So, I got that look, right? It's just kind of scary. But I judged a book by its cover beforehand, and I've learned that you can't do that. They had a shows on Outdoor Channel eventually led to Duck Dynasty. And I will say some of the stuff that they're doing on there is kind of silly. Anyone that's watched some of their videos, like the real hunting and the way they do it, but don't judge them by that, because it is one of the first shows on American television that put prayer and family in context with where it needs to be, right? I mean, our country is just really going downhill. When you begin to believe a lie, it just continues to roll that way. And before you look, you have a godless nation. And this is a nation that was founded on godly principles, right? And we've gotten far from that. So hats off to all of y'all that's come to support this and supporting Christianity. And these guys do the same. Though they don't look like it, they do. There's the office, the Duck Dynasty thing was really good. I didn't get involved with the Duck Dynasty stuff because it's all I can handle to video the duck hunt, then put it together on a... I collect about 120 hours worth of footage, and I have to condense that down, chop it up, and edit it to about 60 minutes. So 120 hours down to 1 hour. That's about what the ratio is of it. But we take the best of the best and put it out there on DVD. Now that DVDs are about to be obsolete, everything's going to web channels and streaming and all of that. But this is some of the behind-the-scenes stuff of what I do. This is in teal season, early teal season. I video them killing ducks, and it don't matter what kind, okay? I know coming, I'm from Arkansas. I grew up duck hunting. It's absolutely crazy because my dad got upset if I ever shot anything other than a greenhead. Arkansas, they're very prideful in mallard ducks and killing mallard ducks only. Look, I don't care what kind of duck you are. If you fly down in front of the blind down in Louisiana, you're going to die. Their motto is, if it flies, it dies. I didn't realize that. There was some things I wouldn't even video. The coot. It's a duck that doesn't hardly really fly a lot. Just an ugly duck. I mean, it is really bad. It swims by, and boom, they shot it. They said, "Lyle, did you get that?" And I was like, "Get what?" I didn't even hit record. I didn't know you're going to shoot a coot. So I learned right off that I've got to constantly be rolling. Even I don't matter what it is. Snakes, they swim by in early season. We deal with a lot of snakes down there. And right out there in our decoys, they're in our blinds sometimes. It's just crazy. But they shoot those as well. So I just got to be on go with the camera. But here we are. There's some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Doing a Benelli shoot, getting some pictures for advertisement. There's Phil. There's Cy climbing out of the blind. This is before hunting season. There's in Jace. We're doing some interview stuff. In Jace's house, outside, interviewing Cy. I'm going to tell you something about him. He was not supposed to be on Duck Dynasty. He's the star of the show, if you ask me, all right? But Willie said, "My Uncle Cy locks up when you get a camera on him." I don't know what Willie was thinking because that Cy is full of it. All right, I mean, full of it. People say, "Is he really that crazy as he is on TV?" Man, that dude's insane. He's crazier than what he is in real life. He is crazier than what he is on TV. But it's funny because A&E, the director, said, "We're going to interview all of your family, and we'll take it from there, Willie." So anyway, Cy goes in there, and they closed room, and everyone's waiting. Well, hour and a half, 2 hours later, they come out the crew's laughing, crying. Cy just come bounce out of there with his tea jug. That is no lie. That dude carries his tea, and he's serious about it because I'll sometimes get it and hide it. You don't do that. I found out he will really get mad, and it's hard to make him mad, but don't get his tea jug. That's all there is to it. But he comes out of there, and he said, "You boys," he said, "y'all just thought that I blew smoke." He said, "They just told me they were going to pay me to do that." He said, "Y'all haven't seen nothing yet." And he is a hoot. But anyway, I've got a snake on the end getting, they had shot it already, and I got some good shots with it on the GoPro of it biting the camera, but just before they shot it. You know, I mean, I really had to get out of their way. I have a tendency to grab these things up and not handle them, but cut their heads off and stuff. This is a venomous snake. This is a cottonmouth. It has fangs. If it bites you, you're going to have a tough time getting out of that swamp and getting it taken care of. I'm not going to say you're going to die, but I like to kill them, and most of the time I don't have a gun. In fact, I'm more comfortable in the woods without a gun. I'd rather have a gun when I'm in town. You know what I'm saying? I mean, with all the stuff that's going on. But anyway, They're like, Sinky, you better, they call me by my last name, because Phil's a type that can't remember names good unless it's unique. Or if, you know, you got curly hair, then he's going to call you curly. If you got red hair, he's going to call you red. But if you have a unique name, and mine's Sinky, so he can remember that. And he said, Sinky, you better back up from that snake right now or you're fixed to get shot. But they take care of them. They kill a lot of them. People say, Lyle, do you like to duck hunt? I love duck hunting. This is me and my family. Although I don't get to duck hunt as much as I used to, I actually started picking on stuff my own size. I started deer hunting when I was about 14 or 15. I love bow hunting, which frees me up to video ducks. I don't have to kill ducks, you know. I love trying to video them, but don't get me wrong, I'll kill a duck real quick, especially on rainy days. They still want me there. Even though I can't video, well, I get to hunt. And they give me a shotgun. I get to shoot ducks in the rain with a real gun. But this is me and my family duck hunting. Me and my dad doing some duck hunting. There's me and my son. We had some great hunts this year. Those are on the rainy days. Killed a banded duck this year. So I like doing it, but it's only, my main job is to video. And that's what I do mostly of. I shoot in a Benelli spot in this clip here. I never know from one day to the next where I'm going to have to be, whether I'm going to have to be 20 foot up in a tree over the blind. I always carry some of the mesh stuff with me. There's Jace. And there's Cy. He does a lot of that. I've got more footage of that dude snoring. And it's crazy because they always act like it's a new thing. They're like, wow, get the camera on. He's snoring down here. I'm like, it's the first day of duck season, guys. I'll be able to get that. I know plenty of it, but he sleeps quite a bit. These are just some different setups that I have. Like I said, I have to be able to hide now. I want to say something about the face paint because I know in Arkansas where I grew up, we never use face paint. I know guys up here that may not use it that much unless they're going to be hunting some of these home birds. But, you know, ducks that come from out of Canada, you know, and if there's an influx of those, you don't have to wear face paint. You don't even have to get in a blind when them ducks come that far down. You just come right in your face and shoot them. But you got to understand, they've flown from Canada all the way down to Louisiana. They've been shot by everybody in Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas. And if they make it past Arkansas, they come to us. We put that paint on to hide. It, hands down, I get blamed if the ducks flare. You know what I mean by flaring? Ducks are coming in. If they see one thing wrong, they'll flare up. They won't come back. For some reason, they always say, it's cameraman, lens. So I learned real early that I'm going to hide very good, and I'm going to have face paint so they can't blame me. These are just some of the scenes that I... This is one of the things I want. This is where my story starts. Y'all see those symbols right there? That's five symbols, an arrow, a cross, a tomb, an arrow pointing up, and an arrow pointing down. Like I said, I got into this business through videoing myself, videoing others, you know, doing a hunting show. But when I was doing the hunting show, actually, here's how I got it started. Years ago, when I was real young, I began making some bad decisions. Now, one of the things that about making bad decisions is there's a time in everybody's life that those decisions that you make won't affect you, right? But once we knowingly step out of what we know is good, what we know is bad, we make these bad decisions. Well, once you know you've done wrong, and when I say that, that could be anything from a lie to actually hating someone, to using drugs, premarital sex, all of these things will separate you from God. Well, I started at a real young age just smoking a little bit of marijuana. Well, anything that's illegal and you're not supposed to do is just going to lead to more illegal activity. By the time I was 30 years old, I just had a 20-plus year drug addiction. You know, I had been on crystal meth for the last 11 years. By the grace of God, like I said, my wife here, we've been married for 21 years, but it's only by the grace of God, because when we started dating, I started dating this woman. I'm going to tell you right now, you know why I started dating her? Because she was naive. All right? She did not realize that I had a drug problem. After all, I was clean cut too. You know, when you're further along you get in your addiction, you try to not look the part. All right, that's what I'm saying. Now that I'm clean, I've been clean for 12 years and growing in Christ, look, I look like the first person that would smoke a joint, right? That's what I'm saying. You cannot judge a book by its cover. When I got the opportunity to go down there, like I said, I had last 11 years of my addiction was meth, and I got it down to where I wouldn't smoke weed, I wouldn't drink, but for some reason I believe that meth helped me work more. Help me think better. All these lies, you know, and that's like any sin, right? Anything you buy into that the devil has, he just gets a foothold. Well, he had gotten a foothold in my life, and like I said, when I started dating Kelly, my wife, I started dating her because she is naive, and she wouldn't know that I had a using problem. And a bunch of my friends like, man, why do you want to date a straight girl? And I said, there's not enough room in this relationship for two idiots, you know? I want something to hold on. And I thought she was a good girl, but let me tell you right now, young ladies, she was not a good girl, or she wouldn't have said yes to going out with me at the time. Because I had I look nothing like God or Jesus. I had the things I said, but I thought she was good because she wasn't doing all the stuff that I was doing. And you know what? After dating me for a couple of years and moving in with me, I can still remember why we got married is because she said, I'm pregnant. And I was like, well, how did that happen? You know, we were just heathens. We had gotten so far away from God and His Word that whenever you begin to do that, you will look up and you won't really have a God conscience. Praise God she did, because shortly after that I said, well, we'll get married. And you'll be able to get on my insurance, and as soon as we have our kid, you know, we'll get a divorce. That's where we were, people. That's a sad place to be, but that's where we were. And like I said, the country's gotten really far. Now, the blessing in all of that was after we had the baby, our oldest son, after he was born, she said, we need to start going to church, which I haven't been able to find that in the Bible, but you all know what I mean. She wanted to start going somewhere where people are trying to do better. She did that, and I said, well, I got a good place that you can go. Look, I went to a legalistic congregation when I was a kid, and I thought for some reason, just because I was baptized at a young age, said Jesus is Lord. Look, I didn't know who Jesus was because my life didn't change. But I was holding on to, I thought I was a Christian, right? And that's the crazy thing about here in America, and so did she, but. Oh, closer. Yeah, I'm glad I got you here, honey. You help me with this. But she was telling me, she's like, we need to go to church somewhere. And I said, well, I'll drop you off where I went as a kid. I figured they'd run her off, right? I figured, because I never got anything there. Well, it's just how God works. She heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and she went full-fledged into that, and it changed her life. She quit nagging me. Now, I'll go ahead and say that life got tougher, but she quit nagging me, started finding her happiness in the Lord, and it really made me step back and said, she's getting something out of that. But yet, I was so far into my drug addiction and doing my thing, learning the video stuff, but out of nowhere, I ended up getting an opportunity to go to work out of state because of the little bit of experience and knowledge I gained. It was to go to work with a guy from Duck Commander, a guy named Phil Robertson. Like I said, I didn't know who Phil Robertson was in 2001. I drove down to his house on November 1st, 2001. Same house that's on TV. It's a part house, part trailer. I mean, this dude, long hair. And I said, when I got the opportunity to go to work for him, I thought, well, look at them. I'm sure they got some kind of good drug connection down there somewhere. I mean, really, that's what we think a lot of the time. But I pulled up, and little did I know that I was going to be walking into a group of people that says Jesus is Lord. I'd been on drugs for 20-something years, and the last 11 was crystal meth. And I don't know how I regulated it to where it didn't get out of hand. But I had to also be kind of on top of my game because I had a wife and kids. But the whole time I felt I had a conscience, but not really a God conscience. It began when she became a Christian. It began when I got down there around people that were. Let me tell you right now, people, if you say Jesus is Lord, there are going to be people watching you like a hawk to see what your next move is. I watched them guys for 2 years. I worked with them for 2 years. And every day I heard about Jesus came down on a cross. That's what that arrow came down planet Earth. He died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb. He went back to heaven. And he's coming back for those who are here. That's the arrow down. I couldn't get away from those symbols. I'm like, what do those symbols mean? And you know what he said? I'm glad you asked. And he began telling me about Jesus Christ coming. I know one time this was in the warehouse down there by at their house on the river. I don't even know. Yeah, I was high most of the time for the first 2 years I worked for him because I don't know what I was doing up in the air ducts. I mean, come on. I mean, that's kind of crazy, but I couldn't get away from those symbols. You see, there's an arrow coming down. There's a cross. There's a tomb. An arrow going, and there's some scripture there written with it. As I was coming up the porch, it's on the ground and it's on the door. It's everywhere. It's in the duck blind. In fact, one of the second or third hunts that we had, I watched them baptize a guy in the decoys. I mean, really, I had never heard about it. And I know how God's word is. It's very repetitious over and over. I guess I was just a hard case because I had to hear it over and over and see it happening. Not only that, but people that have God's spirit, you know, stronger when we have groups, right? I mean, that's why Jesus didn't send his disciples out except in twos, because we're stronger when we're together. And they were always together. Phil said, and he was like, he's like, Sinky, he said, you probably noticed, he said, we go from the duck blind to the house. We got the brothers in Christ with us. When we go to the house, we go down to the building and worship. We got brothers with us. He said, we don't ever get out here alone. He was telling me all this stuff, right? And I was hearing all that. But yet I had a sin problem, people, that I couldn't take care of. And it seemed like when I got around them, man, I felt so convicted. But the first 2 years I didn't live down there, I'd drive back home and I was like, I just got to get away from that. But when I'd come back down there, I'd have this heart problem. I'd feel it. I'm talking about I would actually feel it was hard. It was really hard on me. For some reason, I didn't think they knew I was on drugs, right? I thought, well, why haven't they fired me? Why don't they drug test me? Surely they know that I'm up to something. And I looked as clean, I was clean shaven, you know. Even wore collared shirts a lot back then. It's just crazy. But there's the gospel. There it is. And I don't know if you can see this. You might want to turn the light down because this is August 23rd, 2003. I'd been working for them for 2 years, and they called me to come down and shoot an event. That it was out of the season. It was in August, you know, and it was before. So I didn't know why they wanted me there, but I knew I had to go shoot something. I'm like, it's not even duck season. Well, something happened on the way there. God was really moving on me. God's spirit was working on me through other people who had His spirit. And I got down there, and I can remember pulling up in his driveway and just sitting out in the parking lot, not the parking lot, but in the driveway, thinking, why am I about to go in there and tell them that I'm on drugs? I was having a spiritual battle, people. And I'll tell you right now, the entire world is in a spiritual battle, whether they know it or not. You can only beat on one side or the other. There's no middle ground. There is no such thing of it. Look, I was holding on to something that happened when I was a kid and thought I was a Christian. You know what? I thought I was a Christian until I ran up on some. And then I was able to look and compare my life to that, and I was far from it. Hearing about Jesus, seeing people converted, seeing people saying Jesus is Lord, seeing people live their life free. I mean, it was awesome. It was something, but at the same time, I wasn't there. So this night, August 23rd, 2003, I walked in Fairham Field's house, and this is what's crazy. Y'all remember the old big screen TVs with the big three bulbs? If you didn't change your channels or if you left it on, the logos would burn in it. Well, Phil was sitting in his recliner. Let me see. He's always sitting in that recliner. Hold on. Right there, like that. He sits like that a lot, but he was sitting there watching one of two channels, all right? He watches one or two channels. Fox News. Or the Weather Channel. I didn't know if it's just because I was so high all the time. I didn't know which channel was on. The logo of one was burning here and the logo of the other was burning there. I don't know how any mind can handle that much Fox News, all right? The Weather Channel's all right, but I just pretty strong individual. But I walk in there and I lay on the ground, lay on the floor, and I said, Phil, I'm on drugs. And first he said, Sinky, what's your problem? I said, man, I'm on drugs. He said, oh, we knew that. I said, why have you kept me here? Why haven't you called me out on it? He says, not up to us. He said, Spirit of God. He said, you've been able to see how the Spirit of God works. He got you down here. And he's got you on the floor. You're a grown man crying. He said, that's the Spirit of God. We can't put that on you. We can't point you that way, like really say, you got to do this and you got to do that, because let's just face it, some of us are just rebels and we go totally against any type of rules, right? I had to see it be lived out. I had to see people who accepted me for who I was, where I was. He said, here's the crazy thing. He said, the Spirit of God is like a vortex. You either get sucked in or either you get thrown out. He said, most people leave in about 2 weeks. He said, you've been here 2 years seeing this. He said, you are a strange one. A strange one. That dude's telling me I'm strange. But I was. But he said, you already know what to do, son. He said, you need to say Jesus is Lord. He says, this up to this point, you've got nowhere without him. You're broke down. That's what God wants to do. I was 31 years old, wife and three kids. I had not been the spiritual leader in our family. I would only go to church when I was in trouble. I mean, look, there's a lot of time. This woman here, by the grace of God, I praise God that she did accept Christ, because that's what kept her there praying for the next 8 years. She was even praying like 2 years before I met Phil that God would put a godly man into my life. I mean, she didn't know it was going to be out of state, and she didn't know that it was going to be a long-haired guy that goes around in the swamp down there with no shoes. Seriously, he still does that. That dude hadn't changed one bit. Money hadn't changed him at all. He is he's a rock, but I watched them closely, and I had to really see it being lived out. I like I said, I grew up in church, but I didn't have faith in Jesus Christ. And my life, I had said Jesus is Lord at one time, but I guess it didn't take, because my life didn't change not one bit. So here I am, 31 years old, laying in this guy's living room. This is way back before Duck Dynasty, okay? People think they've always had money. I'll tell you this, that show, this is the only country that you can pretend to be rich and get rich, all right? Because the way the show, it portrays it as if they've just got all this money from the duck calls, and that's how Hollywood wants to do anything, right? I can tell you right now that the office that I had at one time when I first went down there was about a $1,000 trailer. It had holes in the floors. It was rough. You had to watch where you step. You had a little path, or you might end up falling through the floor. I was in the bathroom when I first went down there, and of course I was locked in the bathroom trying to hide from them guys. They were that crazy. I'm like, this Christian thing's crazy. So I'm in there using my drugs, and I see the floor moving, and I can hear the dogs growling. There, you know that tape that you put up on air ducts, that silver tape, you know, it's duct tape, the silver thick stuff. It was moving, so I picked it up and moved it up off the floor, and their dog was sitting there wagging his tail looking at me. That was my office down there. They haven't had money for very long, all right? And Phil grew up but you know what? He asked Miss Kay after Duck Dynasty got going, he's like, I don't feel any different. I thought when I got rich, I was supposed to feel different. And she said, well, Phil, you got so content with being poor and you found all your happiness in the Lord that I guess you're not going to feel any different. That's the kind of guy. Don't ever doubt what God can do. He put me in front of the person that I needed to hear, that I would not have heard it from anyone else. But I had to hear it over and over and over. And he said, that night, he said, you know what you got to do. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and let's walk down to the river. We walked down to that river. Look, I must have been high to a degree because there's more snakes in that river than you can shake a stick at. That had to have been God's Spirit protecting me and guiding me, because we walked down there at midnight and I got in that water. I'd like to say that, you know, that changed everything. And look, but I was a babe in Christ. I was brand new. I'd been on drugs for 20-something years. It took me about 3 years before I really began growing as a Christian. But all the basic principles of learning that you got to stay around the right people. You've got to stay with people who are doing the right thing. You know, you got to stay with people who are in Christ. I didn't know any of that. But that gospel, when I laid down on the ground that night, anyway, that's filled. Finally, we went down the river. But this is what I want to tell you. Like they told me when I showed up down there, they said there's three things you got. You know, number one, you're born. You're born into a world. You're gonna eventually sin. Now, I don't believe that babies are in trouble of damnation. Okay, I mean, little kids are innocent, right? There's a time of innocence that, you know, these little babies aren't out there getting drunk and high and doing all this crazy stuff. That happens later on in life. And when that time comes, once you sin one time, when you knowingly tell a lie, when you knowingly have these thoughts that I'll say that men do sometimes. I can still remember reading Matthew 5 about when Jesus took it to the next level and said, look, you commit adultery if you lust on a woman in your heart. That just blew me away. I was reading the Bible for the first time. So there's all these sins that can happen. Once you do it, you're separated. That's just how God's law is. So you got a sin problem and you got a death problem. What are you going to do about that? Well, there's only one answer for that, and I've got it right here. These are the symbols that I told you I've seen so many times, and now I use them. I got them tattooed on me. I mean, I've got one around my wedding finger, my ring finger here, because number one, I can't keep up with a ring, but it tells me who I'm married to first, right? It's the gospel message. It's Jesus Christ. It's a reminder of who I find my happiness from first. Look, let's face it, if I put her name on there and she dies, well, look, marriage is for planet Earth, okay? I'm going to have to get married again, right? I mean, I'm a man, and I don't expect her to live life without a good Christian man in her life. So what has kept us together? What has held us together? Gospel message, Jesus Christ. I've got it on my arm, and when I come across these signs, when I came across some Christians, the Robertsons, I was like, I had to ask myself, am I saved? I'm going to wrap this up with a real small lesson, and maybe you guys can remember it. The acrostics of saved, I'm going to use the S for a savior, all right? I had to ask myself, am I saved? No, I was not saved. I believe with all my heart that if I would have died before that, I would have been in trouble with God. I would have been in some major judgment. I don't believe his grace would have covered me because I had not said he was Jesus, that he was Lord and Lord of my life. So having said that, I do know the Savior now. And so this is what the Word of God tells us. John 1 says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe with all my heart that God came to planet Earth as a man to take care of my sin problem. He came down here in the form of man, and he walked planet Earth 30-something years blameless. Blameless. And they killed him for it. Not his own people, but a Gentile nation. His own people handed him over to be hung on a cross. Little did I know that that was for me and all the stuff that I've done. Look, I don't understand that love, but I accept it. I believe it. I've studied it in and out. I was in ministry school for 2 years. It happened, people. Hey, look, we're counting time by Jesus Christ. Even atheists will write on their check, this is February 25th, 2017. You're like, why are you writing that down? If you don't believe in God, because you're counting time by Jesus Christ. I know he came, without a doubt. I'm putting everything I have on it. I believe it without a doubt. He came, that's the arrow down. And he was God. You see that capital, the W, the Word, that was God. That's Jesus. He became flesh, lived among us. No one can do that. Scripture also tells us in Romans that everyone is sinned. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. You know, not one of us can make it without sinning. The A is for the agony that our Savior endured on the cross. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Look, I don't know about y'all, but if I was king of the cosmos, if I spoke our existence, it would be tough. I'm just talking naturally speaking, to come to planet Earth and be born in a manger. I mean, I would want to pick one of the finest places. This is totally contrary to the natural thinking of man. And it can't be done unless God's Spirit shows you these things. And yeah, now I know that he came as a man. That's pretty humbling too, right? To put himself in that position from a baby all the way till he's 30 and never sin. But the death on a cross was a criminal's death too. Very humiliating during that time. Very humiliating. Yeah, it was cruel, but it was a criminal's death. And our Savior took it. All that agony on the cross. Vexation. That word is meaning stressed. Really stressed. If you get stressed about something, well, guess what? A lot of people stress about death, especially the closer it comes, or to a family member dying. You don't think that all of his disciples that had been around him for 3 years were not vexed, stressing? They all scattered, right? Even Peter denied him. Peter denied, no, I don't know who that is. 3 different times, and then the rooster crowed. But Acts 13:29 says, when they had carried out all that was written about him, in other words, all the prophets that had written about this, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. He was dead, right? You see people die, what happens? They put them in the ground, they don't get back, right? They're not coming back. I mean, I would like to be able to say, this is all great and life's good, but look, I can tell you right now, we've got to prepare for the next life. We all have a purpose, and it's not for us to advance in this life, but just point others to the cross, because look, I haven't seen anyone come out of the ground, all right, that I've buried. There's only been one person do that, and that's Jesus Christ, and they laid him in a tomb. They laid him there. So what are these guys thinking? They were thinking he's going to be king. They were around him for 3 years, and they kept putting emphasis on physical things instead of spiritual things. And we all know, as we're reading the Bible, reading a lot of the parables, they always pointed to spiritual meanings and greater things beyond here. Well, he's now in a tomb. There's an eternal message coming out of that tomb. And it says right here, Ephesians 3:10, when he come up out of there, you see that area? He come up out of that tomb 3 days later, stayed on planet Earth for about 40 days. Building up some credible witnesses. I don't know about y'all, but someone come walking around with, I saw him get hung on a cross. I saw him die on a cross. Now here he is walking around. Not only that, but this is really cool. In John 21, what do we find? You know, we find these different times where he's appearing after his resurrection. You know, first he appeared to Mary. She was in the garden. But my favorite account is where Peter and a couple others, like, he's like, what are you doing? He said, let's go fishing, you know. Let's go catch some fish. They fished all night. You know the story. Kind of like when the ministry got started, right? Anyway, they're fishing. They didn't catch nothing. Well, they see someone over there on the riverbank or the Sea of Galilee, wherever they were, and they saw a fire going, and they got the guy on the shore said, hey, y'all caught anything? No. He said, well, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Well, they did that, all right? They did that, and what happens? It's a catch like no other, 153 large fish. If you do the math on a tilapia, I mean about 3 pounds, you just start doing the math, and these were big ones, so they may have been like 5 pounds tilapia. Peter knew right away that it was the Lord. Here's the kicker. This is the kind of stuff I look at in the Bible. What was Jesus doing? He was over there cooking fish. Look, it says he had a couple of fish, right? People, there's a good chance that we're going to be eating fish in heaven. We're going to be catching them. I can't put these deer. I don't know about killing the deer and the ducks and all that. I know people say it, but I know that in a resurrected body that you can eat fish. Jesus was doing it. All right? He was showing them that, hey, I'm not a little ghost floating around on a cloud. I got a real body. I got flesh and blood. Let me eat some fish here. It's so cool to think that I'm going to get a better body, because I'm going to tell you right now, the older I get, I'm feeling all them hard years that I lived, all right? There's times I get up and can't hardly move. Well, look, that gives me more hope in the resurrection and really getting a glorified body. It's so cool. You go outside on a dark night and look straight up. It's cosmos. More than you can see. It's vast. You know, on these really nights when it's clear and there's no moon out, you can just see. Guess what? We've got to pass through that with our glorified body. We're going to own that. We're going to be co-heirs of that. It says it in God's word. But in Ephesians, here's the eternal message. It says his intent was that now, through the church, that's us. It's not no building. That's those who are his. Those who have said Jesus is Lord. Those who have turned from their wicked ways. Those who truly have had a change. Those who are created anew in him. And it says that through this church, through us people who call Jesus Lord, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers, the authorities, and in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose. Look, I don't know where you're at in life, but God has an eternal purpose. And this is not just for us, but it's for others. It's for him to receive all the glory. And it says his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way to the Father, the Bible says it, and that's through the Son. A personal relationship with him. After 40 days, he ascended on high. This is really cool because it tells us in the book of Acts, first chapter, that when he left, he ascended. It said that he lifted his arms. I don't know if he took off like an airplane, but it says he raised his arms and he went into the sky. So that tells me that that's the same way we can leave here, but with a glorified body that can actually eat fish, that can walk and talk. And I speak at a lot of these different places in recovery, and I tell people about the glorified body, especially those who have been in a lot of trouble and they're in these recovery things. I go, look, all you meth heads, I said, I used to be one. I said, if you just accept Christ and do the right thing, you'll get to stay up for eternity. I'm like, you'll never have to sleep. I said, just think about it. You can sleep if you want to or you don't. I know my wife said she's going to take a long nap. It doesn't matter. We're going to have a new body. We're going to be with all of our people, our family, those who have said Jesus is Lord. And while we're here, this is being made. Look, these brothers prayed with me a while ago, and one of the prayers was about the spiritual battle that's taking place. Like I said earlier, you're on one side or the other. There's no riding the fence. Either you're on the enemy side or you're on God's side. You know, if everything's going smooth and you ain't having no trouble, there's a pretty good chance you might need to examine your life. Because like I said, I can't sit here and say that things are going to be great and they're getting better, because look, we're all getting older. We're all going to die. We all have a sin problem. And the only way that sin problem is taken care of is through the blood of Christ. Jesus is Almighty God, and he hung himself on the cross for us. Like I said, I don't understand it, but I accept it. It's my only way out of here. I wish I could say I could understand a father that would give his only son for a bunch of heathen, sorry, no good people. And I don't know, some of y'all might not know how to take that, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's where we are at as human beings. Unless you've been saved by the blood of Christ. If not, you've got a sin problem that needs to be dealt with. And if you're here tonight and you're hearing me, I just challenge you to look into your life and examine your own. I mean, if you don't know for sure where you're going when you die tonight, examine it. Pray about it. God may have you for that exact reason right here tonight to hear this. Because it's for everybody. I'm up here talking about it. It's for anybody. We're all let in on this. And now that when you do say that, the things that happen in these troubled times is showing all of this spiritual battle that's taking place. It's showing all of the prince of the air, all the principalities, the authorities who, I'm telling you, there's something going around outside here, spiritually speaking, if we could only see the battle that's around us. Look, I don't know how we do it without Christ in our life. Beforehand, I knew how I did it. When I didn't have Christ, I just did more bad. I would escape. You know, I'd get right. And it's not just drugs, though, people. There's all kinds of sin. It's not just drugs. Mine's pretty generic. Had a drug problem. God worked through that. God brought me out of that. But you know what? What about pornography? You know, look at the statistics on that. And with how technology is. Talking about the prince of the air. That's why, how come all this stuff comes through the media, comes through the airwaves? Look, it's evil times. And the only way we're going to get through it's with Christ. But he went back to the Father, and guess what? He sits at his right hand, right? If anyone of you have been in trouble, you know you got to have a good attorney. I know about this, all right? Look, I've got an attorney right now, and he's at the right hand of the Father. He's on my side, and guess what? He's saying, give Lyle one more chance. Don't look at him. Look at me, Father. That's what the blood has done for me. I mean, no, I don't use drugs. I don't do the stuff that I did, but when I read the book of Leviticus, when I began reading about all the atonement for sins, the animal sacrifices, I found in there that there was a sacrifice that was for unintentional sin. That means, people, that we're going to sin sometimes and not even know it. So we got to have a Savior. And when he went back, that gives me big hope that he's up there on my behalf. He's on my wife's behalf. And we can say right now, I can say without a doubt that, look, if I die tonight, a stray bullet hits me in St. Louis driving back, don't get jealous. I'm in a better place. All right? This is going to be a good thing if I die. I told Kelly that. I'm like, you know, I'm ready to go right now. Doesn't mean I can go down here and drive 150 miles an hour and all that, you know, and just do. But it does mean this, that I have enough confidence in my Savior, and I believe this with all my might, that it's for real. Or we wouldn't be living in a world with so much bad. But I told her, I said, I'm just ready to go. And she said, well, what's going to happen to me and the kids? I said, well, I read in the Bible, where life's just a vapor. You'll be there soon. She don't like to hear that, right? She's thinking about right now. These women think different. There it is. The D in saved is for day of the Lord. That's the arrow coming back. He's going to come back. He's coming back for me. If I'm still here on planet Earth when he comes back, I'm glad. If not, I'll be good to go either way. But 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17 says it like this. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. That's Jesus Christ. With a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Look, I've been caught up, people, but never like this. And I can tell you right now that I can't wait. There's times that life just seems to beat us down. That one night we were laying in bed and we heard a train tracks not far from our house, but we had been talking so much about this day, right? Day of the Lord, when Jesus comes back. For those who are his, it's going to be a great day. But guess what? If you're not in Jesus, it's going to be too late. It's not going to be like, you're going to hear that trumpet call of God. It's going to be loud, and you're going to be like, oh no, everything I heard about Jesus is true. But it'll be too late. But see, those who are in Christ can't wait to hear that, right? Amen? I mean, I know we got work to do, but as a Christian, I'm longing to be with the Lord, my Savior, right? There's not a whole lot here for me. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to be doing what I'm doing now. I'm going to be talking. I can get away with this, people, because I was on drugs for 20-something years. I was blind. Now I can see. It's not, I mean, I couldn't pull myself out of that. Wasn't no drug rehab to take it out of me. Jesus Christ did it. So I can't wait to see him come in on the clouds. Come down for those who are his. And if I'm dead, and guess what? She said, well, what about a plot and all that? No, just burn me up. Throw me on the side of the road. Sewer pond, it don't matter. I look at an acre and it's that big and it turns into an oak tree. You don't think God can pull my DNA out of an ash? He spoke me into existence. Amen. He's good. He is the Savior. I wish I could do a Joel Osteen. Don't get mad, but he can smile and preach at the same time. I just can't smile like that. I mean, look at me. All I'm going to tell you is that life's going to get tougher. And if you got a sin problem, you got to take care of it now. And if you don't, I'm so glad that the Lord put, because when day of judgment, it's off of me. God will say, well, you remember that crazy dude, that ex-drug addict with the long beard and the camouflage came down there? He told you about my son. You can't say, oh, I never heard it. All you can say is, I wish I would have accepted it. But I can't wait till he comes back. The last thing I'm gonna talk about is this right here. You see that? This is, you guys ever, you can get on my Facebook, you can see these things. It's the easiest way to tell people about Jesus, okay? It's the simplest form. These symbols, Jesus saved my life, but these symbols help point me to him. Always remember, he came, he died, and I'm going from left to right. He came, he died, he arose, he ascended, and he's coming back. All right, he's coming back for those who are his. He's coming back. If you're in or not, he's coming back. You're going to have a resurrected body, whether it's for eternal damnation or whether, I just, for some reason, I'm reading the Bible and I don't find that, you know, just, it would be hell just to be separated from a Savior forever. But I find in there where it's going to be bad for those who haven't accepted. So I'm in. I want y'all in. Look, I used to hate people and rooms full of them. I'm serious. I used to tell my wife every time she tried to get me to go to the church house, I'm like, no, it gives me anxiety. I don't want to get, you know, I use that anxiety thing. I just can't be around them. But look, I didn't know the love of God. Why would I want to be around his people? I didn't know none of that. And now I do. So not only do I love people, but I love rooms full of them, or I wouldn't get up here and act like an idiot for an hour. I love y'all. And if you're not in Christ, I want you to be in Christ. But these, you see, this is these symbols. I do them. This is crazy, and I'm going to be done. This is called flashlight photography. I didn't go to school, so I can't tell you how to do this technically and all the terminology. All I do is I set my camera for a very long exposure at night. It's how you get starlight, get star time lapse and stuff. But I take a flashlight. After I hit expose, I've got a little remote like this, and the camera exposes for 30 seconds. So I've got 30 seconds with my flashlight to draw those out, and then I kind of had to draw. You want to talk about looking like someone on drugs, just think about what that looks like. I mean, really. Every time I move somewhere, I'm like, we was renting a place. I'm like, look, if y'all see me out here with a flashlight at night, just... No, I'm not on drugs. I'll have to show you the pictures that what it turns out to be. I never knew that I would be acting like that with a light out there doing these symbols. But I've been blessed that God set me up, put me in front of the Robertsons, and gave me, you know, I didn't know any of this, people. God can work through any situation with anybody here, with any of your passions and desires. Don't ever doubt him. He can take you from where you're anywhere in life and put you in a different place. Not only that, he can put you in front of people that need to hear about him. And that's what, these are just pictures that I shoot. That time right there, someone shined a light out there on me. See, I have my camera here, but it's about to get daylight in there, and it feels like, Sinky, what are you doing out there? You know, I said nothing. But I wanted to get a shot in front of the duck blind because I love making, that's in Kansas. So it's just cool stuff. Thank you guys for allowing me to speak, and I love y'all. Praise God.